So we went over, you kind of went over your programs or whatever. Have you had a good response to your preventative programs? Have your people really accepted them and taken advantage of them?
I think we have. We don't always get the exact numbers of who takes advantage of that, because there's obviously confidential issues with that. But certainly we haven't, thankfully, had anyone that's committed suicide or anything of that nature at the police department or the fire department, I don't believe. So that's a good sign. I do feel like with the proper education and the information that we've gotten out there, people really have responded and understand that if you need the help, you go and you talk to somebody, whether it be peer support, EAP, chaplain program, or just a family member, like Chief Blazer had talked about. Sometimes that's a simple thing as well, but we still need to let them know, hey, make sure you do reach out to someone. Doesn't have to be part of the peer support. Doesn't have to be a chaplain if you're not comfortable with that. Could just be a family member, wife, brother, sister, whatever the case is. And I think that response has been good. Generally speaking, we try to let everybody know what the statistics are out there, including our officers. And in Wisconsin, in the last 19 months, we've lost 12 different law enforcement officers to suicide. And that's 12 too many, as far as we're concerned. In the United States, obviously, those numbers are even bigger. We have, during the year of 2017 in the United States, 154 law enforcement officers taken their own lives. And this year already, so far, it's been 86. So hearing those numbers and reiterating that to our troops and have them understand it's real. Okay, we don't want you guys to become part of the statistics, so please let us help you, and you got to help yourself.
Yeah, you know, statistically for the fire service, the numbers are high. The problem is we don't really have a good source of data collection for the real true numbers that exist out there and stuff. So, you know, that's a challenge as you move forward. You know, so the best thing we can try to continue to do is be proactive. And as I stated, you know, we're unique individuals that kind of have our own public safety family, if you would. And it's really, you know, the responsibility as a family is that we have to each other, making sure we're okay, you know, where if we see any changes, we communicate those effectively to each other and, you know, just be empathetic. And then if it's something we can see is a little bit more in depth or bothering, really need to have that tough conversation with individuals and send them to the resources that we do have available.
This one's a little bit of on a different note, but fire rescue and police would both be called to a report of a suicide, correct?
That's correct.
So what would be the standard operating procedure when you get on the scene? So if someone, Lord forbid, does have to interact with your officers and fire department personnel, what can they expect going into it, as opposed, because I know I've talked to a couple different people who have been confused by the way certain things were handled.
So. Okay. Well, the police would most likely be the first on scene. We're all going to be responding at the same time, but the police are generally on the road and in their vehicles already, so we will respond. And if the person is unsuccessful in the suicide, of course, we're going to start emergency resuscitation or whatever needs to be done. Depends on how the person was or attempted suicide. Of course, there's several different ways. I don't have to tell you all the ways that it can be done. And of course, we'll be relying on the EMS to arrive shortly thereafter to really take over all the medical attention that is needed. Now, if the person is actually successful in the suicide, we will again have the EMS respond, make sure that the person is deceased. And at that point, we can we'll definitely sit down and talk with the family members, try to get them any kind of referrals that we can give them. Offer them. Again, our chaplain program is not just for officers, it's for our citizens. So our chaplain program, 100% volunteer. We have several different, chaplains from throughout the area, all volunteer again, and they will respond to the scene. And those people are very, very good at talking. They've dealt with these things time and time again, and they're very good and experienced at dealing with these traumatic situations. So hopefully the person will accept the chaplain. If they don't, that's fine. It's not forced upon them. But certainly we're going to want to never leave anyone alone after this is dealt with. So we'll try and get family members to come to the scene and, again, help them with any referrals that we can, any help that we can.
It may be one of those things where I can understand where you talk about how you've, you know, had other people share experiences with you of kind of not understanding what's going on and stuff. And I think Chief Reimer gave a good background. And what's difficult sometimes is, you know, we have our jobs to do, and with our jobs, sometimes they need to be very methodical in the way they are. I mean, our main goal is compassion and reassurance on the fire side, and the police side, of course, they have their goals that they need to accomplish as well. That such a tragic event is difficult on a family, and in order to help get all the answers that need to be obtained, sometimes it needs to, I don't know if I'm finding the right words here, but be as compassionate as we're used to sharing that type of care with individuals on a day-to-day basis, because the loss of someone's life is not easy for anyone involved, and we understand, especially for those families. But in order for law enforcement to do their job and us to do our job, really there's more or less a recipe book that we follow in order to make sure things done are appropriately, and we can do the best we can for those that are affected by it. The nice thing, though, as Chief Reimer explained afterwards, though, is that chaplain program, and knowing that now we have an additional resource to both law enforcement and the fire and EMS side of things, that we can be a little bit more compassionate once a lot of our job functions are accomplished.
Yeah, and you bring up a really good point. I should have stated the fact that any sort of unnatural death, we're going to have a detective come to investigate it as well. So it's good for the public to understand that that detective is not looking at, anything other than making sure that we find out exactly what happened. And I think that anybody would want that of a loved one either way. So if it does turn out to be maybe it looked like a suicide and it wasn't, we need to make sure that it was or was not someone that took their own life. And that way, everything is covered, but a detective will definitely be showing up if there's any sort of unnatural death, even if it appears not to be a suicide and something else, and we find out that it's a suicide, we're going to get to the bottom of it. And we do have to ask some of those tough questions of the loved ones within a certain time period. So that can be hard. It can be hard on the person that has to answer the questions. It can be hard on the detective or the officer that has to ask those questions, because it's an uncomfortable situation and it's an unfortunate incident. But at the same time, I just hope people understand that we have to, we have a job and certain duties that we have to do, and that's what's going to happen. We're going to do it in a respectful way, and we're going to have those other, those other references to give to the people. But at the same time, we have to get to the bottom of it.